Chapter 9. Transparent respirators clamped over their faces, and C-3PO shuffling behind them, Han and Leia emerged from the crippled freighter's docking bay into the large cargo hold beyond. Everywhere they looked, peace brigaders of various species were passed out on the deck or slumped unmoving against bulkheads. The cargo area was already filled with three squads of Alliance strike troops whose ship had harpooned the freighter and who'd been the first to board. The strike troops wore mimetic enviro suits and black helmets with tinted face bowls. Each was laden with blaster rifles, bandoliers of flash grenades, thermal detonators, half-meter-long vibroblades, and survival gear. Specialists in rapid deployment and infiltration, strike troops were a relatively new addition to the war, and most of the ones in the cargo hold had participated in months of familiarization drills aboard captured Yuuzhan Vong vessels. Han was certain that other squads had already penetrated deep into the ship. Three troopers were slapping manacles on the unconscious brigaders. He and Leia scarcely had time to take stock of the situation when a hatch in the forward bulkhead pocketed itself, and a Klaatuinian stepped into the hold. 20 blaster rifles swung to the green-complected, scrunch-faced humanoid before he could so much as raise his taloned hands in surrender. "I'm Habyo," he said. A breather mask dangled around his thick neck. "The one who sabotaged the hyperdrive. Surprise party," he added. "Surprise party." A human colonel signaled everyone to lower their weapons. "Next time, give the code words first, before you come barging into a secured area," he snapped. "You're lucky you didn't get yourself killed." Habyo relaxed somewhat. "You won't find any prisoners aboard the freighter. They were transferred to the Yuuzhan Vong carrier." "Which way?" the colonel demanded. The Klaatuinian pointed to port. "The umbilical is attached to the cargo hold adjacent this one." Leaving several soldiers behind to tend to the stirring brigaders, the colonel motioned the rest into the broad passageway that separated the holds. Satisfied that it was safe to do so, Han pulled off his respirator and almost gagged. "What the heck are they transporting?" he asked through the hand he clasped to his mouth. "Rotten eggs?" Leia took a quick whiff and snugged her mask back in place. "Is that the coma gas?" Habyo shook his head. "The stench comes from the Vong cofferdam. Air circulators carry the smell throughout the ship. But you get used to it." "Speak for yourself," Han said. He motioned with his chin to the passageway. "You coming?" "As soon as I provide identities of the peace brigaders." Han nodded and waved to C-3PO. "Let's go, Goldenrod." The droid started.
"Sir, wouldn't it be best if I remained aboard Millennium Falcon?"
"Cock, Mame, and Meewall can take care of the Falcon. We might need you to translate."
"Translate? But Captain Solo, I'm far from fluent in Yuuzhan Vong. In fact, I'm still trying to comprehend the conditional subjunctive tense."
Han made a face. "You've never had trouble making yourself understood, 3PO. Now get going." He and Leia led the way into the portside cargo hold. Han spied the cofferdam entrance and ran for it, only to stop short at the mouth, then half-turn and flatten his back against the bulkhead.
"You really don't want to see this," he said as Leia approached.
She studied him in puzzlement. Han was a bit wide-eyed and shaking his head back and forth.
"What are you talking about?" she asked.
"Remember that time on Dantooine, when I got the Balmora flu? Well, this thing..." He jerked his thumb toward the cofferdam opening. "Is what I figure the inside of my nose must have looked like."
Leia smiled dubiously and stepped around him.
"It can't be that bad."
She froze.
"Why, it's an oka,"
C-3PO said, standing somewhat akimbo at the entrance.
"The word derives from the proboscis of a Yuuzhan Vong pack animal. The floor is what is sometimes referred to as a microbial mat. And the viscous liquid drooling from the ceiling actually houses the bacteria that engineered the entire tube."
"I told you he'd come in handy," Han said. C-3PO disappeared into the organic cofferdam, sloshing along the puddled floor, his voice echoing wetly.
"Oh, yes, tiny white arachnids, similar to those that can sometimes be found inhabiting volcanic vents."
Han was staring at Leia. I hate microbial mats. Maybe there's another way.
I don't think so, Han.
He firmed his lips. All right, you first. Just don't touch anything. They covered the 100 meters in record time, eyes forward and arms straight at their sides. By the time they emerged in the Yuuzhan Vong carrier, Leia's legs were drenched to the knee in foul-smelling liquid. They could tell which way the strike troops had gone by the gaping holes the soldiers had blown in membranous interior bulkheads and iris portals. Bioluminescent lichen lent a cheerless green light to the carrier's meandering internal passageways. Fluid seeped from gently pulsing walls and strands of connective tissue where passageways intersected. The air was rich in oxygen but pungent. They stepped through a torn membrane into a spacious hold whose Yorick coral deck might have been pink ferrocrete. Leia ignited her lightsaber. From the ship's forward came the sounds of war cries and muffled shouts, blaster fire, and the dull thudding of amphistaff strikes.
I guess coma gas doesn't work on the Yuuzhan Vong, Leia said.
Yeah, too bad about that. They sprinted toward the sounds of battle, rounding a corner to see allies and enemies down, smears of red and black on the floor, refreshment for a host of tongue-like creatures that were gorging on the spilled blood. Han shot from the hip, dropping a Yuuzhan Vong warrior with a kufi dagger in each hand. With a downward slash, Leia cut the legs out from under another who had launched himself at her. Hands pressed to his head, C-3PO issued a litany of mirthless exclamations and laments. They followed the strike troops farther forward. The soldiers held their blasters at high port, sweeping them from side to side. They advanced in leapfrogging squads, waving signals to one another, overwhelming amphistaffs with continuous bursts, or concentrating blaster fire on Von Doom crab armor weak points. Then searing the exposed flesh beneath, with or without weapons, with or without their living arthropod armor. The enemy warriors continued to attack, always choosing death over surrender where there was an option. Stepping over sprawled bodies, Han, Leia, and a squad of troops reached another intersection. The squad leader was trying to decide which fork to take when Habyo finally caught up with him. The prisoners are on the upper deck, in a hold aft of the command chamber. The Klaatuanian edged his way into the intersection and gestured. This way! A steeply sloped corridor led up to the carrier's command deck. At the top of the slope, two strike troops had a peace brigader in custody. A strong smell of glitter-stim spice wafted from the human's uniform. He says that most of the warriors took to coral skippers when we attacked, the tallest of the soldiers reported. The only ones left on board are the officers. The brigader led the rest of the way to the forward hold. There, squashed together inside a sticky net, sat three Yuuzhan Vong. One wore a command cloak that hung from bony implants on the tops of his shoulders. The strike troop's colonel was circling them proudly, with his hands planted on his hips, thumbs backward. We took these three by surprise and webbed them before they knew what hit them. Across the hold, 50 or so Alliance prisoners of various species were stuck to the deck in a pool of blorash jelly.
Han! Leia!
One of them called out. The speaker was a thick-set human with pleasant, if undistinguished, features and a full salt-and-pepper beard. Judder Page, Han said, grinning as he approached. He scanned other faces in the crowd. And Posh! Kraken nodded his head in greeting.
Rescued by celebrities. I'm positively humbled.
Leia glanced at the blorash jelly and folded her arms across her chest.
We're not out of this yet.
Han squatted down in front of Captain Page. If we'd known you were on Selvaris, we wouldn't have left without you. Page shook his head in bafflement.
You were at Selvaris?
We picked up one of your escapees, Han explained. A Jennet.
Garbin.
Thorsh,
Kraken said in obvious relief. How else do you think we knew about the convoy?
Thank the Force, Page mumbled.
Wedge sends his regards, Han said. He says he's sorry about Bill Bringy, and even sorrier that rescuing you took as long as it did. Page mustered a smile. I'm going to kiss him when I see him. I'd be careful about that, Han said. He might just send you back. Leia studied the Blorash jelly.
We need to get you out of this.
Habio dragged the stout Peace Brigader forward. He knows how the stuff works.
The man's spice-clouded eyes darted to the captured Yuuzhan Vong officers and widened in fear.
You'll have to kill me, 'cause if you don't, they will.
Leia went to him. We'll make you a better offer. We'll take you with us. You'll stand trial, serve time for your war crimes, be rehabilitated, and released in 20 years. Otherwise, we leave you here, and we give the Yuuzhan Vong every reason to believe that you were the one who tipped us off about the convoy. Maybe they won't kill you right away. Maybe they'll even take you with them. But you're going to find it a lot harder to get Glitterstim on Coruscant than in a Galactic Alliance prison. And you know how excruciating withdrawal can be.
The human gulped and found his voice.
All right. He nodded to the Blorash pool. Arson salts.
Han stepped close to Leia.
Your mind tricks are a lot more subtle than your brother's.
Leia smiled.
I win by guile.
You don't have to tell me.
The strike troops searched their utility belts, broke open capsules of arson salts, and began to sprinkle them over the pool. When Han and Leia had yanked Captain Page free of the liquefying mass, he walked directly to the netted Yuuzhan Vong and went down on his haunches in front of the one with the longest hair.
"Something you want to say to this one?" Han asked in interest. "'Cause our droid speaks fluent enemy."
C-3PO protested. "Captain Solo, I—"
"Not necessary, Han,"
Page interrupted. "Malik Kar speaks fluent basic. He was commander of the Selvaris camp. Has a particular fondness for subjecting prisoners and droids to immolation pits."
Han proffered his blaster to Page.
"No one here'll think any the less of you."
Page shook his head. "I know how important we were to Shimra, and Malik Kar is going to show up on Coruscant empty-handed."
He grinned. "He'll get his due from his own kind. Unless, of course, he kills himself in dishonor beforehand."
A strike troop officer hurried into the hold. "Enemy reinforcements coming out of hyperspace. We need to move."
The colonel looked baffled.
"So soon?"
"The Vong must have gotten off a distress call, sir."
"Have the transports docked?"
"One or two."
Han stepped forward.
"We can cram 80 or so aboard the Falcon."
He looked at the colonel. "Can you take the rest?"
"We'll have to."
"Captain Page," Malik Kar called out, "I'll live to see you on a sacrificial pyre before Yuuzhan Tar completes a quarter orbit round its star."
Page approached him once more. "On the off chance we do meet again, keep this thought tucked into that warped brain of yours. 50 of my people died because of you, and the next time I won't be nearly as charitable with you as I was here."
In a mad dance, Jaina circled the stricken Yuuzhan Vong carrier, dueling coral skippers with each dive and traverse. The battle roles had been reversed. Now starfighter squadrons were the defenders, and skips the aggressors, surging forward to harry and engage at every opportunity. Harona Scimitar and Wes Jansen's Yellow Aces were similarly deployed around Carrier One. With several of the Peace Brigade freighters incapacitated by Alliance gunships, Black Moon and the Dozen were flying escort for the rescue transports. Millennium Falcon had followed a strike troop gunship into the docking bay of the freighter tethered to Carrier Two, but almost an hour had passed and neither ship had emerged. A transport was on its way to docking, but had suddenly stopped, adding to Jaina's vague sense of unrest. She reached out for her mother, but all she felt in return was rushed activity and deep concern. In conversation with veterans of protracted wars, Jaina had been advised to accept that the final stage of any conflict was often the worst. More dislocating than the initial periods of surprise and chaos, and more dispiriting than the intermediate periods, after the deaths had begun to mount up, and it could seem as if the killing might go on forever. But it was the end stage that was most dangerous. A period of improbable alliances and unexpected reversals, some owing to overconfidence, others born of fear and desperation. Jaina gave scant attention to any of this.
except during the lulls in battle, when her thoughts sought escape from the tableaus of fiery explosions and crippled ships. As the Minok flew, Bilbringi was almost a neighbor of Selvaris, and the recent battle there was almost emblematic of the odd pairings and reversals Jaina had been warned to expect. The operation had been the first since Esfandia that combined Alliance and Imperial elements, and the disabling of the Holonet had been one of the war's biggest surprises yet. Now, with Luke, Mara, Jason, and other Jedi incommunicado, she was waiting for the other boot to drop. She thought about her parents and returned her gaze to the docking bay of the freighter. There was still no sign of the Falcon. She was about to calm mission control for an update when the X-Wing's tactical screens came alive with enemy blips. "Heads up," she said over the battle channel, "vessels decanting from hyperspace." That was why the transports had stopped, Jaina told herself. Everyone had been expecting reinforcements to show up, but not so soon. She waited for the authenticators to display data on what the sensors had picked up. "They appear to be coral skippers," Harona said, "approaching from starward of Selvaris. I make it 3 stacked triangles of 6 skips." Jaina shook her head. Coral skippers lacked the ability to travel through hyperspace unassisted. "Scimitar leader, that can't be right." "Twin sons won," Wes Jansen said. "These blips don't match anything in the battle log." "Tanab won. My instructions agree," Jaina calmed. "We should have visual in a matter of seconds." What the long-range scanners showed made her sit up straighter in the X-Wing's contoured seat. The fighters, if indeed that was what they were made up of 3 Yorick coral triangles joined apex to base. The leading 2 triangles showed mica-like canopies, while the 3rd and largest was flared at the rear and sported a long, up-curving tail, perhaps to augment Dovin basal impulsion, which in a coral skipper was often located in the nose. From the forward segments of the scaled fuselage sprouted 6 legs, 3 pairs to each side, veined in blue and tipped with launcher ports for plasma missiles. Twin Sun 3 whistled in surprise. "They look like Azeran sting crawlers." "More like Foxin," Jaina thought. "Close ranks and form up on me," she said quickly. "Anyone short on firepower to the center. Stick with your wingmates until we see what these things are capable of." "Enemy is breaking formation," Harona announced. "Here they come." The formations of snarling skips surged forward with incredible speed, their sextets of launchers disgorging plasma in steady streams. Deliberately, Jaina placed herself in the path of one projectile and was immediately sorry she had. Cappy shrieked in distress, and the X-Wing's shields fell to 50%. She tumbled away from 2nd and 3rd projectiles, allowing time for the shields to recharge. "All pilots, keep clear of these things. They pack a wallop." The warning did not come soon enough. The battle net grew frantic with exclamations. "Twin 6 and 7 are down. Scimitar reporting 4 casualties. Tanab 10, pull out. Divert power to your shields." Jaina glanced over her right shoulder and saw Twin Sons 2 fly apart. "This can't be happening," she thought. "Sting crawlers have broken through our lines," Twin Sons 6 said. "They're going directly for the transports." Jaina pulled hard on the yoke, climbing back toward Carrier 1 at maximum boost. "Twin Sons, disengage and regroup. Screen formation on my mark." She issued the command, and the remaining starfighters formed up once again. They chased the coral skippers flat out, wending through continuous volleys of incandescent fire. "Scimitar's calling for backup at Carrier 1. "Enemy fighters are taking up positions around our transports. We can't fire without risking collateral damage." "All pilots, weapons on number 1 carrier are active. Repeat." The rest of Scimitar 3's words were erased by an agonized scream. Jaina hurtled into the fray, thumb pressed on the trigger, only to watch her stutter fire bursts disappear into the yawning mouths of enormous gravity wells fashioned by the skip's Dovin basals. Was the convoy a cleverly engineered ruse, she asked herself? Disinformation to lure the Alliance into a trap? But that couldn't be. If so, the Yuuzhan Vong would have capital ships and a Yamask vessel. they would have struck before any of the prisoners had been rescued and transferred to the transports. Lobaka growled a warning. 4 blazing missiles had Jaina's name on them. She slalomed successfully through the first 3, but the 4th nicked the port stabilizer and sent the X-Wing into a rapid spin. She calmed herself and regained control, emerging from the spin in time to see a transport explode directly in front of her. Sudden anguish kept her stunned for a moment. Then she swerved away from the fragment cloud and went searching for the guilty Skip. Kip and Alima Rar sent a sudden alert to her through the Force. She rode the X-Wing onto its back. The Falcon had launched from the freighter's docking bay and was making fast for clear space, a Galactic Alliance gunship right behind. Twisting free of engagements, 4 enemy fighters converged on the Falcon. Jaina tried to establish contact with her parents, but the battle channel was screeching with static. Mom! The Falcon was jarred by missiles her parents either hadn't seen coming or were unable to avoid. In her mind's eye, Jaina could see Han taking the ship through a repertoire of evasive maneuvers. And yet the enemy pilots of the Stingcrawler skips were clearly anticipating the Falcon's every move. Jaina, Alima, and Twin 11 and 12 flew to the freighter's rescue, battering the skips from behind. But the Yuuzhan Vong fighters refused to be distracted from their target. In a moment of blind rage, Jaina dropped her guard and was struck from starboard. Slewing helplessly, she watched 11 and 12 shatter. The enemy was on a killing spree. All flights go to proton torpedoes. Brilliant orbs of energy streaked forward and disappeared. The Stingcrawler skip's singularities were swallowing 4 times what a normal skip was capable of dealing with. Jaina flinched with each magna missile that hit the Falcon. The freighter's shields were holding, but the Falcon was literally rattling around inside them. 3 skips accelerated, determined to overtake their quarry. Quad lasers spraying fire in all direction, the Falcon tipped up on her starboard side, only to take a devastating blow to the belly. 1 skip sustained a broadside hit and went careening into a Peace Brigade ship, opening a ragged breach and sending the ship into a dizzying rollover. The Falcon and the gunship were almost clear enough to go to hyperspace. Jaina imagined herself in the outrigger cockpit, throwing switches and actuators, pushing the hyperspace lever forward. The sometimes unreliable navicomputer counting down before the ship could make the jump to light speed. "Hurry," she said to herself, "hurry." The detonation nearly threw Leia out of her seat harness. Han's hands were white-knuckled on the yoke. Cinched into the cockpit's high-backed rear chairs, Kraken and Paige extended their arms to keep themselves upright. The other rescued officers were packed into the forward cabin and wherever else they could fit. "How much more of this can the Falcon take?" Paige asked. "As much as she needs to," Han growled, without meaning to. Leia thought she heard uncertainty beneath the bluster. Han adjusted his headset mic. "Kakmei, Miwal, don't ease up on those guns. I don't care if they are overheating. Right now they're the only things keeping those skips away from us." Han sent the Falcon on edge to evade a trio of enemy ships, escaping with only a bone-rattling hit to the freighter's midsection. Streaking past the wraparound viewport, flew 2 dual-piloted coral skippers. Han's jaw dropped slightly, and he looked over his shoulder at Kraken. "Posh, what kind of skips are those? I've never seen anything like them. Have you guys seen anything like them?" Kraken shook his head. "Never too late in the game for surprise, is it?" Paige said. Han blew out his breath. "Guess not." The muffled report of an explosion reached the cockpit from aft. "That didn't sound good," Leia said. Han's eyes darted to the display screens, then widened. "It's worse than it sounded, but we're not done yet." Han reached forward to toggle switches, reallocating power to the rear shields. "Can we make light speed?" Kraken asked. "While I have a breath in me." Away to starboard, punched by an enemy fighter, a Peace Brigade fighter cracked open, belching fire, atmosphere, and a whirlwind of debris. Han pounded the console with his fist. "Nice shooting, Cockmame." He paused, then said, "All right, all right. The kill's yours, Miwal." He pivoted in his chair and smiled lopsidedly. "They think this is some kind of..." The cockpit turned blinding white. Han's words swirled to nothingness, and time slowed for an indeterminate period.
A second explosion of intense light followed. A wave of concussive sound barreled into the cockpit through the sliding hatch, and Leia's ears popped. C-3PO let out a wail from somewhere aft.
"Shields are down to 40%, she said when she could.
Han could scarcely hear her. He reached over his left shoulder, his hand knowing precisely where to go, like that of a musician at a keyboard. Finished with whatever adjustments he had made, he smiled for show. Leia heard him mumble, "Come on, baby, hold together just 20 seconds more." He caught her watching him. "Don't worry." She shrugged. "Who's worrying?" The Falcon took her worst hit yet. A tangle of blue energy danced over the navicomputer. A single rivulet of sweat coursed from Han's hairline to his set jaw. Leia faced forward, staring straight ahead.
"Now I'm worried."
Without looking at her, Han counted down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. 3 was on the tip of Jaina's tongue when the Falcon was hit hard from behind, the force of the enemy projectiles practically kicking the freighter forward. The ion drives failed for an instant, and pieces flew from the stern, one of them streaking across the nose of Jaina's X-wing. Her mother's distress was palpable. Then the Falcon was gone, propelled into hyperspace, but with 4 enemy skips following suit. As the Yuuzhan Vong had first demonstrated at the Eclipse base years earlier, they were capable of tracking ships through hyperspace by means of a self-heating, vacuum-hardened fungus that forced tachyons from a ship in faster-than-light transit.
"All pilots, did anyone get a bearing on the Falcon?"
"Negative, Twin One," came a chorus of replies. The operation rally point was Mon Calamari, but Jaina recognized that the Falcon's jump to light speed had been desperate, and she doubted that the navicomputer had had time to plot an accurate trajectory. There were thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, of possible hyperspace exit points between Selvaris and Mon Calamari. Apprehension slowed her responses even while her thoughts raced.
"Twin sons, fall back to protect the transports," she said when she had gotten hold of herself. "We're taking them home."